Can you hear me? Am I good to go? Okay. I'm sorry. I can't hear anybody else. So I don't know if Harold introduced me or not. Anyhow, I'm Joe Reese, and I'm glad to be here with you. I come from the Pembroke, Ontario area, and happy Thanksgiving to everybody here today. One verse to start with, and you don't need to turn there in your Bible. It's 2 Corinthians 9 and 15, and it says this: thanks be to God for his, the old King James says, unspeakable gift. The new King James says his indescribable gift. Many years ago, when our first granddaughter was very young, Grandma was reading this verse to her, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. And she said, Grandma, what kind of a gift is that? An unspeakable gift. Well, dear friend, let me tell you, unspeakable, indescribable, that is the person of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And the Bible says he is the gift of God. And we're going to thank God for that gift today because of our tradition of being Thanksgiving. Maybe some of you knew, or maybe you did not know, that Canada actually had Thanksgiving before the United States of America. Yeah, it's amazing. You can Google it. You can figure it out. It was 1621 in the United States when the Pilgrims and some of the native people in Plymouth, Massachusetts did what we think or we call the first Thanksgiving. But Canada celebrated that. I don't know if you're interested or not, some 43 years before that, if you can believe it. The first Canadian Thanksgiving recorded was in 1578 by an English explorer named Martin Frobisher and his ship and his crew in the Frobisher Bay up in what is now Nunavut. And they had a meal, they had communion, and it was 48 years later, I'm told, that Samuel D. Champagne in the New France, I don't know where New France is, I think it's Quebec now, but anyhow, they celebrated Thanksgiving as well. In Halifax in 1750, the United States had some influence. And at that time, the Canadians started using turkeys, yeah, squash, pumpkins, and family meals together. But it wasn't until January the 31st, 1957, interesting, the Canadian Parliament declared the second Monday in October to be a day of general thanksgiving. Listen, that's not the end, to the Almighty God for his bountiful harvest and blessing to Canada. Well, there you go. Little trivia for you this morning on Canadian Thanksgiving, something we did before the United States ever dreamed of it. Now, someone has suggested Thanksgiving is kind of a hard thing to do. A little boy was given an orange by a very nice man. The little boy took the orange. His mother said to him, now, what do you say to the man? She said. The little boy looked at her, looked at the man, looked at the orange and said, will you peel it for me? He said. Sometimes Thanksgiving is a little bit hard to get out. But when it comes to thanking our God, it should be something that we're all eager to do and willing to do. Now, I want to ask you for a moment before I get into my message. I want to ask you this question. What are you the most thankful for? Just think. You might say, well, my health or my family, my wife, my husband, my children, my grandchildren, my great-great-grandchildren. Maybe I'm thankful for my job. A lot of people don't have a job. Material blessings. I thank God for friends. That's true. Freedom, the country we live in. There are many things. Food on the table. A lot of people don't have that, you know. But what are you the most thankful for? Let me suggest that if your answer is anything other than the grace of God in my life and the Lord giving me salvation through the death, burial, and resurrection of his son, you're in trouble. If it's anything else, you're in trouble. Now, it's a lot of things to be thankful for, but I'm asking you the most thankful, top of the list. Nothing gets close. This is the big one, that the Lord Jesus has come into the world to save sinners. You see, if that's not the thing you're the most thankful for, perhaps you've never seen yourself before a holy and a righteous God. Maybe you just don't know how far away your sin has put you from God. The Bible is very clear. Listen to a few verses. Psalm 40 says, he took me out of a horrible pit in miry clay. That doesn't sound nice, but that's where I was. Isaiah 55 says, 53, all we like sheep have gone astray, everyone to his own way. That's how far away we were. Isaiah again, 64 says, all of our righteousness, not sin, all the good stuff. When God looks at that, our righteousness are like filthy rags before a holy and a righteous God. Psalm 14:3 says, none that does good, not one. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. You see, today, if you're not thankful, I mean, the most thankful for the grace of God in your life saving you, maybe you don't know you're lost. Maybe you don't know that your sin has separated you from God. And that sin condemns us forever. But the good news is Jesus came to take your sin. Isn't that good news? He came to give you his righteousness and take your sin to give you new life. The Bible expresses it like this. You can be born again. I see myself as the sinner. I see Christ as the only Savior. I see God's love manifested in the greatest gift, the unspeakable, the indescribable gift of his son. And we thank God for that. Now, it wouldn't really be a Thanksgiving message unless we turn to a Thanksgiving psalm today. So if you have your Bibles, let's go to Psalm 100. Right in the middle of your book or your Bible is probably the book of Psalms. There's 150 of those written primarily by King David, some by Asaph, and some maybe unknown. But there are great books to read, chapters to read, and we're going to read 100, Psalm 100. And it goes like this, verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. May the Lord bless the public reading of his word. Now, you wouldn't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out in those five verses, there are seven things that we are asked to do. Just watch your Bible again. Verse one, we're to make a joyful shout. Verse two, serve the Lord and come before him. Verse three, know him. Verse four, enter to his gates and courts. Verse five, be thankful and bless his name. Seven things. Now, this is a great psalm. It's a psalm of thanksgiving. Maybe there's a title right over or right under Psalm 100 in your Bible saying a psalm of thanksgiving. We start with that psalm in verse one by the old King James says, make a joyful noise. You know, we think people who make a joyful noise are people who, unlike the choir, the beautiful choir that we just heard, they can't carry a tune in a bucket, but they're loud. You know what I mean? Like, they get it out, okay? Well, that's not exactly what that's talking about. Make a joyful shout might be a better understanding of that word. This is a plea to the whole earth. You see that, don't you? Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all the land. This is an invitation for mankind in general, the whole earth, if you please, to make a joyful shout. Men, ever since the Garden of Eden, have longed to try to be happy without God. What is the noise that we hear in our world today? Is it a joyful shout? Let me see if I can explain to you what that shout sounds like. If you're taking notes, you can go back to Ezra chapter 3 and in verse 10 and following. Right? Just because of time, I'm just going to rehearse that for you. The nation of Israel had come back out of captivity, back to Jerusalem, and they're rebuilding the temple and rebuilding the wall. And they get the foundation of the temple built. And when they got the foundation of the temple built, all of the people came together, 70 years in captivity, 70 years without a temple, 70 years without an altar, without sacrifice to their God. They come back, and as they rebuild, there's the sons of Asaph, and they're the cymbals, and they're the Levites, and they're praising, and the priests are there, and they're praising the Lord. And the Bible says they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, and they sang responsively, he is good. And then the people said, his mercy endures forever toward Israel. Then it says, and all the people shouted with a great shout because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Can you imagine that day? Can you imagine that shout? I mean, we go, or you go, I don't go, but somebody goes to hockey games, right? Canada's a hockey capital, okay? And the blue team is playing the red team, okay? And the blue team scores, and you hear a shout! This is what we're talking about. The United States, you know, 50,000 people at a sporting event, and someone scores a goal, and they shout, the ground quakes. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're doing. Make a joyful shout. Let the whole world join in. Let everyone be part of it. Let it be joyful. Let it be happy. We have a happy God. We should have happy people. Make a joyful noise. But what do we hear? We hear explosions. We hear automatic weapons. We hear hate, violence, mobs, dictators, governments, the cries of defeat because of horrible diseases. And this last one down here, the Hurricane Ian, we hear the rights of man protesting their demands, their wishes, hate and murder and crime. Those are the voices that we hear. How would we ever change that? How could it be that the whole earth, with one joyful shout, like the king returning from battle and all of his subjects say, "That's our king! That's our king that comes." This is the idea, make a joyful shout. Well, I suppose in reality, the scriptures, I think, would verify it and back me up. There'll never be that joyful shout until the king himself returns. There'll never be peace on earth until the prince of peace comes back again. But notice, not only a joyful shout, we're to serve the Lord with gladness. We're to come before his presence. Now, it's one thing to serve ourselves. It's another thing to serve the Lord. It's one thing to serve the Lord because you have to. It's another thing to serve the Lord voluntarily, with gladness, with happiness. We're to come before his presence with singing. You know, anywhere we ever read in the scriptures in the Old Testament about trying to come near to God, the people really weren't allowed. I mean, Moses probably comes the closest, right? Maybe Elijah sees him pass by the hand or part, or Moses with the burning bush and we fall down. But to serve the Lord, to come before his presence with singing, you got to remember that there was a temple. There was his presence there. There was a place of sacrifice. There was a place of rejoicing there. And we're admonished to come. Old Testament, listen to the New Testament counterpart. The Son of God himself, the Lord Jesus, listen to his words. "Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." A psalm of thanksgiving, the shout, serving with joy, gladness, coming. Look at verse 3. "Know that the Lord, he is God." Little play on words here. You'll notice the word "Lord," all capitals. He is God, G, capital G, little O, little D. If I could put this, for those of you who study the names of God, Jehovah is Elohim. Jehovah, the self-existing God. Moses said, "Who I say is sending me?" He says, "Tell him that I am that I am." Tell him that Jehovah, the self-existing, almighty, powerful God is there. In the psalm, it says, "Do you know that Jehovah is Elohim?" You say, "What's that?" Well, Elohim is the plural name of God. Oh, did you know the self-existing one actually exists in three personalities? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Did you know that when God, Elohim, created man in his own image, he created man to be tripart, body, soul, and spirit? And we are made in the likeness of God. He says, you got to know the Lord. You know what the psychologist will tell you today? Well, you got to know yourself. You got to find out who you are and where you've come from and all the bad stuff in here. And then maybe there's some help for you. I think the indication from scripture would be you got to know the Lord. If you know the Lord, you'll figure out the rest of it. He'll help you. But just to figure out who I am, listen, my mother tried to do a research on a family tree in our family one time. And after she went back so many years, she quit. it wasn't that good, you know. We figured maybe we should just leave this without going too far in the background of our family tree. Dear friend, it's not who we are. It's who the Lord is. Could I ask you, do you know the Lord? You say, well, I know about the Lord. No, no, that's not my question. Do you know that Jehovah is Elohim? Do you know that he made us and it's not we ourselves that has made us? Oh, that's a big lie, you know. We came from a iggly wiggly squiggly about 400 gazillion years ago, and here we are. No, that the Bible knows nothing about that. The Bible says he took dust. He created man in his own image. He is the creator. It is him who is, listen, if somebody made you, there's somebody to be accountable to. And the atheists don't want to acknowledge that. They don't want to be accountable to anybody. So they just write God out of the script. But the scriptures are clear. You know him. Know that Jehovah is Elohim, that it's he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Let me ask you this morning, could you say the Lord is my shepherd? That's a great thing to be able to say. Do you know the Lord, who he is? Verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Well, I had the privilege on a couple of occasions to go to Israel. And it's really kind of interesting when you walk through the gates into that old city. Oh, there was the south gate and the north gate and the east gate and the west gate. There was all kind of gates going on there. But you know, it's quite the thing when you're on the outside and you walk through that gate, there is something about it. And so the psalmist says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts, the very place where it all happened, where the sacrifices were, where there was fellowship, where there was singing, where there was rejoicing. And the psalmist says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. That's what we're kind of doing today. From the very beginning of this meeting, the theme has been thanksgiving to God, thanksgiving for all that he has done. Be thankful to him and bless his holy name. We might ask ourselves the question, why would I want to bless his holy name? And the obvious answer in verse 5 is, for the Lord is good. That's why. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. Well, if we are his people, then we are his possession. And if you can say the Lord is my shepherd, then you know the Lord. A great psalm of thanksgiving, a great psalm of praise. And I'm wondering what kind of noise you're going to make this weekend. What kind of noise am I going to make this weekend? Is it possible that from within our hearts, within our innermost being, we could say, I'm the most thankful for a God who loved me, who stepped out of heaven one day and became my Savior at a place called Calvary, where he suffered and bled and died for a poor sinner like me. And he was raised again on the third day. The Bible said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Dear friend, let me go one step further. Unless Christ is in your heart, you can't begin to understand Psalm 100. But with Christ in your heart, you have the privilege of making that joyful shout. That's our God, serving him with gladness. That's why we're here. Come before his presence with thanksgiving, singing, knowing he's the Lord, entering into his gates and bless his holy name. Why? He's good. Oh, friend, I hope today you know the Lord Jesus Christ and you cannot just quote this psalm, but in reality, in real life, with Christ in your heart, you can say, I know the Lord. Let's pray. Father, what a great atmosphere to say thank you. Thank you for a gift that the Bible says is hard to explain. The wonderful person of Jesus, so weak that he nursed on his mother's breast, so wise when he's 12 years old that he astounds the doctors in the temple. So brave and bold that he confronts diseases and demons and they flee. So powerful that he speaks to death and it obeys. The very creation that he made responds to him in every way. This undescribable, this gift. But oh, Father, what a Savior. The mighty God in flesh goes to a cross and there surrenders his will to his Father and dies according to the people that were there like a common thief. He was numbered with the transgressors, but it pleased our God to bruise him. It pleased our God for him to become sin for the sinner. It pleased our God for him to be the substitute, this indescribable, unspeakable gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus, laid lifeless in the tomb. But on the third day, God raised him from the dead. And Father, we know that he went back to heaven. And he said when he left, I'm going away, but I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Father, we thank you for this unspeakable, indescribable person of the Lord Jesus. If the books were written, the whole world could not contain the books written about him. And so we give thanks for him and for any who do not know him today. We pray the Spirit of God might work in their heart, and this might be the best, perhaps the first time in their life, they too can give thanks to God for his unspeakable gift. In Jesus' name, amen.